Welcome to the Lean Health Tech Podcast, where industry professionals discuss trends and topics where efficiency, healthcare, and technology meet. My name is Taryn Shipley, and I'm your host.
Our guest speaker today is Taya LaCroix. Taya is the Senior VP of Healthcare Innovation and Growth at Impensa, which provides supply chain analytics. Thanks for joining us, Taya.
Thank you so much for having me.
What exactly does Impensa do?
So Impensa is a data enabler. We transform supply chain product data to provide transparency and visibility needed for actionable analytics.
Why is it necessary? Like, why would organizations want to use Impensa?
For me, it's all about driving out waste, fraud, and abuse. But on a bigger scale, you know, I've worked a lot with supply chain leaders all over the country, and I really struggled with giving them a way that they could quickly see their data. So many of my customers use Power BI and Tableau, and when I sit with them and I watch what they're doing, it takes them hours. And so with Impensa, and specifically Cost Cloud, which that's the name of our tool, Cost Cloud allows me to take vast amount of data and be able to visualize it in a way that's actionable so that my clinicians can get to work on saving their hospitals money instead of trying to categorize and clean up and organize their data.
So does Cost Cloud use, does Impensa use its own proprietary data visualization tool, or is Cost Cloud on an existing platform like Tableau or Power BI?
So it's funny that you say Tableau and Power BI, because that's kind of where they originally started out at. So 4 years ago, Rob Corley started building this Ida Master in a proprietary match engine. So we have migrated, you know, really over the last year, we have moved off of Tableau and Power BI, and now we are in the Snowflake ecosystem. So our application is actually built using various partner solutions within the Snowflake ecosystem. And it makes me really excited because we can move a lot faster. And I'll just say, from my previous life to being here, when I'm not told no when I'm asked for like different things. And they're like, do you mean this? And so it's been really cool to kind of like throw out ideas, and within a week or two, being able to see those ideas within Snowflake with real data moving behind them.
Does the customer have to be on Snowflake to use it?
No, they do not. But we do have within Snowflake, or within the Snowflake ecosystem, there's already integrations built. And so we're already inherently in the cloud, but you do not have to be, in the Snowflake ecosystem to use us. The great thing is that we've worked with all of the ERPs and the EMRs out there that we know how to, we've already have those crosswalks built. And so we can really pull data from any system that anybody is using.
Do you guys traditionally work with larger healthcare systems or independent clinics? What would be your ideal client?
So really, we kind of work with everybody. We enable hospitals, health systems, the consultants associated with those health systems, and even vendors with their data. Ideally, you know, my goal is always, and the guys at Impensa know this, my goal is to be able to get back to my rural hospitals because that's my heart. And so I want to be able to give them the type of analytics that I gave to my larger IDNs, but be able to break it down to the single doctor's office, to the standalone clinic, to the 25-bed critical access facility.
Are the dashboards and metrics customizable?
Yes. And so that's the really cool thing about our tool is that, you know, we have a lot of built-in analytics already. So there's a lot of the feedback that I've gotten is like, yep, you guys do a lot of the same things that the analytics that we get from our GPO, which is great. But where we become a little bit different is how we organize the data and our match engine. So we've got a couple of things that, you know, depending on the project and what the customer is interested in working on. So like if they want to focus on orthopedics, we can go in and we can look at benchmarks for orthopedics and standardization. And I can start stack ranking doctors by off contract spend or by outcome. And so we really can take the data and visualize it in a way that we're really getting down to that whole, the cost per procedure. Supply chain, especially since the pandemic, has really had a spotlight shown on them. And we've had some really great leaders step up and step out and start, you know, educating. But I think for so long, I'll just say for in my rural hospitals, it's not really a revenue source for the hospital, right? And so they don't get the attention that they need. But what I need my administrators to understand, and I need them to empower our supply chain professionals, is that they're the ones that kick all this off. You know, they're the ones that start procuring all the items. And so we've got to make sure that they're procuring these items at the right price and at the lowest price possible. Because again, when you think about the patients and all the markups and all the things that go in to the cost of healthcare, we have to start at supply chain. And so when we talk about lowering costs and delivering better patient care, you know, supply chain has to be front and center in those discussions. I worked a lot with Epic Hospitals in my previous life. And so one of my biggest frustrations was, how do we supply that type of data to my customers? Because especially within the OR, revenue leakage is huge. And when you go live with Epic, if you don't have all of those items in your item master, you can't charge for them. And so I've seen so many of my hospitals take massive loss because, you know, here they have this great program, but, you know, they might have a Synthes contract that has 100,000 items on there. Well, you don't always know when you're going to need that one screw for that 6'10" guy, right? So how do we figure out that? How do we manage that data, that massive amount of data, so that it's on hand exactly when the clinician needs it? And that's what makes me so excited about the work that we're doing with CostCloud and at Impensa, is because we provide that interoperability between the EMR and the EHR. So it doesn't matter if it's Epic, if it's Cerner, whoever it might be, we can basically feed that data into Epic, so that clinician is making sure that they're charging for the right thing, and so that they have good, clean data available to them.
Once an organization decides to implement CostCloud, how long does it take? Is it 2 weeks to stand up and start using the analytics?
Yeah, it's really quick. So it's about 2 to 4 weeks for us to take the data. And it's a little bit different process than I'm used to in the past. Like, we're not cleansing the data, but we have a proprietary match engine that allows us to match right now on the first pass around 95 to 97%, which is really great because I can jump in immediately and start matching these things and being able to show where those gaps are in a process or revenue leakages happening. So we can get really targeted really quick.
You've talked a lot about kind of recuperating the revenue leakage, but I know you've also, in past conversations with me, mentioned recalls. Can you tell us about how Impensa and CostCloud can help with recalls?
Yep. So recalls is a big reason why I'm at Impensa. So I originally approached them because I needed barcodes for my app that I was building. I was building a procurement app on blockchain. And so what I wanted to be able to do is, as part of my proof of concept, was have this recall trigger, this FDA recall trigger that would alert a patient when they had something inside of them that had been on an FDA recall. And so there's some other companies that have really kind of swarmed around this and tried to figure this out. But I'm really proud of the work that we've done at Impensa, because what we've been able to do is not only bring in all of the FDA data, and because of our match engine, we can now match it down to where the item is stocked in the location of a hospital. So we use G10s, and we're able to track and monitor that, you know, wherever it is at the hospital, to let the hospital know, hey, this item is on recall. And yes, it may be on recall for the entire nation, but for you, hospital Y, it's in these three, you know, stocked locations. And then on top of that, we provide a workflow so that they can go in there and say, hey, I'm pulling this product, I'm sending it back, and I've also gotten a refund for it. And so there's an audit trail attached to it, so that if anybody ever comes in and says, hey, what did you do with that recall? We have all that there, that data there for them, that shows them that yes, it was pulled, yes, it was sent back, and yes, they got a credit.
You did mention blockchain in there, and how is blockchain applicable in the healthcare context? Because when I hear blockchain, I think cryptocurrency.
I would tell folks that, one, it doesn't have to run on crypto. So blockchain is really just a distributed ledger, and it really is just it's a compliance technology. So blockchain allows me to make sure that somebody doesn't pay the wrong price. And when you're talking about taxpayer funds, and when you're talking about like CMS and Medicare and Medicaid, it's important that we are charging and receiving the correct amount of money. And so by using blockchain, I can eliminate a lot of the errors that happen, not only just, you know, in billing and in AP, but we can streamline the process, and it gives us a everything on a distributed ledger. So, you know, if there's watchdogs, you know, that want to go out here and audit things, we can open those up. So we have multiple people have eyes on making sure people are doing the right things. But there are security issues. And so that's why I've slowed my roll on blockchain for the moment, so that we can figure out, just like we did with Snowflake, because, you know, as we were building the Cost Cloud app on Snowflake, there were significant security challenges that we had to overcome, specifically around single sign-on. And so those same type of challenges, those security challenges, are also in blockchain. That's where, you know, Impensa is going to be my data set for me to build smart contracts to enact on a blockchain and in a distributed ledger in the future.
So would the blockchain apply to not people, not patients, but more of the hospital finances? Am I understanding
yes.
that correctly?
Yeah. That's where I'm more wanting to use it, is on the supply chain side, to make sure that our hospitals are not paying the wrong price. Because so much of my previous work and my previous life, even as a distributor, was working with contracting and with value analysis and with accounts payable to make sure that we were all in alignment, that I had the right pricing so that I could get paid as a supplier quickly. Because at the end of the day, most suppliers, that's all they care about is, when am I going to get paid? You know, when am I going to get that check, right? And so with blockchain and a smart contract, I can get suppliers paid quicker, but I'm going to demand that we have good data up front that's actionable, so that our hospitals feel comfortable with releasing that funds at the time that things are being ordered, instead of waiting, you know, the 30, you know, the 90 days or 120 days to be able to pay that invoice. I actually think the average right now is around 70 days of when an invoice is paid.
If I'm a distributor right now, I would be shaking in my boots. Because if I, you know, if supplier A is charging $100 for a piece of medical equipment and supplier B is charging $1,000, supplier B is clearly overcharging, and they're going to have to adjust their prices and not make as much money, right?
Too bad. This is about the patient. This isn't about them. And this is about the taxpayer. And this is about those of us that have like high deductible insurances. And, you know, employers need to understand this, because, again, we all pay for this healthcare. And I'm sorry, I've worked enough with value analysis that if my clinicians tell me that that $100, you know, device is just as good as a $1,000 device, I mean, use economies of scale to your favor, my dudes. Like, figure out how to lower that price. There's some really good teams out there doing some great work, but we want to bring, again, actionable analytics to them so that they can see this. And that's one of the things I didn't talk about Cost Cloud, but when you're talking about like looking at vendors, you know, we can really do a lot of work around benchmarks. And so that's one of my favorite things to do, even outside of blockchain, is right now is going in and looking at benchmarks and looking at the current vendors, because I think hospitals are sometimes shocked. And I know, like, when I talk to people outside of healthcare, they're shocked to learn that typically 40% of a hospital spend isn't tied to some contract. And so to your point, there are vendors out there there are very smart supplier reps out there taking advantage of that. And so that's where Cost Cloud can come in before we get to blockchain. And I can start giving those benchmarks to those value analysis teams, not to go out there and necessarily force their doctors to move to a lower cost item. That's not really the goal, because at the end of the day, that's been clinically acceptable, you're clinically accepted in that facility. And so what I want to empower my supply chain and my value analysis folks to do is to go in there and renegotiate those contracts. There is money all over supply chain. You just need to have a good, you know, roadmap to show you, you know, hey, where can I go negotiate harder on? And that's my favorite thing to do.
I think you mentioned the number 40%. Was it 40% of purchases are associated with a contract?
Actually, it's closer to 60%. It's 40% that I typically find that's non-contract. So there's no contract associated to that. And that happens a lot of different reasons. So like a lot of orthopedic things fall off of contracts, but a lot of times within the GPO world, there's letters of intent, there's all kinds of triggers that have to happen and things that need to be signed. And there's a workflow that has to happen before that hospital and the distributor and the supplier all get that pricing. And so many times when I used to joke, when I would sit all the liars in the room, when I would have the distributor, the supplier, and the GPO rep with me in the hospital, we would find out that there was a, miss in the workflow, and somebody forgot to sign an LOI or somebody forgot to send the pricing. And so that's where in the future, like right now, we're using Cost Cloud to be able to help clean that data up. But in the future, what I would like to see is smart contracts dictating that. And so that everybody agrees before a contract goes into place. And so a smart contract would ensure that as soon as that item was purchased, it was purchased at the right product at the right time for the right price. And if the supplier, meets all of those things that the hospital requires them to do, including sending, G10 information, unspec, HCPCS, all these things that the supply chain team, the data sources that the supply chain team needs, if the suppliers are willing to give that information, good, clean information, we're willing to pay them quicker and not make them wait 70 days to get paid.
About 60% of purchases are associated with a contract. What would be an acceptable level in your mind? Like, are we striving for 100% of purchases to be associated with a contract? And is that a metric on Cost Cloud?
Ideally, yes, we can track that on Cost Cloud. I don't think we'll ever get to 100% off contract just because you're always going to have back orders. You're always going to have, new things that are coming into the health system that need to be evaluated. And so we want new products to come in. There's always going to be an acceptable, but I would say at least 80% needs to be on contract. And it needs to be your highest usage items. And let me just say, most hospitals do a phenomenal job at trying to monitor that. It's really when you get into some of the offsite, the clinics, and some of the specialty things that you think might be on a contract, you tend to find out actually there's no contract associated to it. And so that's where, that's kind of one of my passions is making sure that if we do have a contract that we're utilizing it.
You mentioned earlier that things can fall off contracts. So should existing contracts, should they be renewed or reviewed every year, every 2 years? What would be the appropriate cadence?
It depends on the contract term, and there's typically a contract calendar that most hospitals have or most supply chain teams follow. And so, I think most hospitals typically in their value analysis teams, they typically do a yearly review with all of their suppliers in looking at the stats and the overall fill rate and how happy their clinicians are. But most contracts are written, 3 years with 2 1-year extensions. They're typically 5-year agreements, which again is kind of an anomaly, because like oil and gas, they don't do contracts that 5 years long, and I know why healthcare does it because, it's supposed to make it easier on the providers. But I would say that there's a lot of money left on the table for waiting so long to renegotiate those contracts.
Can you give me a ballpark idea of how many contracts would a healthcare system have at any given point? Are we talking like 20? Are we talking 100, 1,000?
Oh, we're talking over 1,000. I mean, it depends on the facility and it ranges. So it depends on what services they offer because, just like, this morning I shared an article where 69% of Oklahoma rural hospitals no longer offer OB services. They wouldn't have those contracts. And so, they wouldn't have as many. But the hospitals that do offer the full range of services, it's not out of the range for them to manage 3,000 to 4,000 contracts.
AI is a hot topic in not just in healthcare, but all over right now. Is there any way to leverage AI to help monitor what's being purchased, what's on and off contract?
I think eventually we're going to get there and you can use some bots. We will get to AI once we have good source data. So right now, the data that we're getting, like GDM, some of the supplier data and just some of the data that we're seeing in the system is not always the best. And so I wouldn't feel comfortable throwing that into AI, because if I can't fix it manually first, how am I supposed to expect AI to be able to do it? And so it's one of those things that we have to train it. And so, you know, we're working right now, and we've been playing with some large language models and things like that, but it's how do we get our source data clean enough first that we feel comfortable enough unleashing an AI or, you know, bot on it so that we won't get some crazy output. That's my biggest concern with AI right now, is the output, because if you don't have good input, you're just going to get trash on the other end.
Garbage in, garbage out, right?
Right. Exactly.
Do you have any last thoughts to share about Impensa, blockchain, or just healthcare in general?
Well, you know, I'm never without an opinion on healthcare. As frustrated as I do get with healthcare and the things that are especially going on in the state of Oklahoma, I am so excited about Impensa and specifically Cost Cloud. It's been such a breath of fresh air to be able to come into an organization and to help build an analytics tool, and to see how quickly we've been able to take feedback from customers and be able to give real actionable analytics. And so, you know, we want to be an enabler of data. And so that's what makes me so excited to get back out into my customers and into the hospitals, and to be able to show them how that they can use their own data to solve their problems.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight around Impensa and supply chain analytics.
This concludes today's Lean Health Tech podcast. If you're a listener and would like to hear a certain topic covered in future episodes, please let me know by leaving a review or comment. Thanks for joining, and be sure to check out the next episode.